huge honour and privilege to welcome Pastor Joy Graetsch here this morning. She's an internationally renowned author, speaker. She's just an amazing all-round person. She is incredible. And Joy, we are just so blessed to have you here this morning. So I'd like to welcome you to come up.
What a thrill to be here with you, and thank you so much, Ray and your team, for the atmosphere of life and devotion to the Lord that you've created. It's so easy to bring the word of the Lord on the back of something like that, so that was outstanding. Before I bring the word, can I just talk to you a little bit? I kind of want to brag on you in this, that you are an outstanding church. That was a very good scripture, the gentleman who brought that. Please take that to heart. You're not a inconsequential church. You're a church of great significance. And that was a good scripture. That needs to get noted by everybody. You need to write that down and say, this is how God sees us. It was a very good declaration. I can't find the gentleman, and I'm trying to... Oh, thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, sir. Excellent. We've just had this chaplaincy conference, which is the reason I'm making this little fleeting visit to your country. And you need to know, people, that your pastors and your key people who are involved acquitted themselves outstandingly. Here you are in Waiuku, southwest Auckland, and not a lot of people in New Zealand have heard of you. I understand that. I used to be the speech therapist in Opanaki. It's like Oprah Ware. So I get the, you know, why what. But you're on the map. You are on the map. And this idea that is now current, which I heard for the first time from Pam Bryan, who I met for the first time, what an outstanding servant of God she is, that chaplaincy is something of a new evangelism. And you are positioned by God quite strategically in that. So well done for being the church that might get known as the chaplaincy church. That's not a bad thing. That's a very precious thing, and I commend you in that. And your pastors did exceptionally well. Lloyd has done exceptionally well, and you can just be really proud of them. And I honour them. Well done, Lloyd. Well done, Amanda. And to your worship team. Then, of course, to give honour to that video clip. That's deeply moving. I love the imagery that's been captured on that. It's very intentional, I'm assuming, and to see all your beautiful faces on it and to position it in an old church, well, that just presses a whole lot of my buttons, and to see the pipe organ, how wonderful is that? But there was a moment there, and I certainly loved the beautiful way the children came out to greet their families and to see Rebecca and Gemma walking down the path afterwards. It was all very beautiful. But did you see that part where there were two pairs of dropped hands? They were unclenched. One was a male hand, one was a female hand. And they just stood there unclenched. That picture of relaxed receptivity to God is exceptional. So well done, Therese. And perhaps I will use your sentence that you gave here in your thank you, and it was so beautifully worded. You said you've not quite known what to do with what was on your life. And I would say that that is actually not uncommon as believers. We come to the Lord and we hear things spoken over us and suggested as possibilities. And it's not easy always to have a sense of, well, that's what this will look like. I get that because I understand that about me. Some people are born with a very strong sense of who they are. And they just go through the world and they're shining lights and they're the point on the arrow and they're the flaming target. And that's good. But not a lot of people are naturally born with that. But you have a sense of, there's something in here. Life will seek to diminish it because the enemy of our soul is only a destroyer. He will only ever distort what God has spoken over our lives. So we understand that sometimes by the time we get to be adults sitting here, we're all toilet trained, we know how to read and write. So, you know, and but it's like I still have no sense, and it's because of the intensity of that skewing process. And so our salvation becomes the beginnings of us aligning with what God intended for us all along. So I get what you said, and you probably said it for so many. So the message this morning, I've been so excited to bring this to you. I've been waiting for this. Thank God the chaplaincy conference got me here. But for me, this is not the bonus. I've been hanging out to stand right here and speak to you. As I said at the start, you're not an inconsequential church. And I've seen that over you for some time. You are... So this message will be for some of you as individuals, and I hope bring some clarity to the kind of matter that Therese mentioned. But it's also for you as a church. It's called, the title of the message is, From Strength to Strength, and it comes out of Psalm 84. I'm going to just read you three verses out of Psalm 84. By all understanding that I can gather, Psalm 84 was written by somebody who was not in an optimal situation. It's a psalm that sometimes is quoted by pastors to get people to do jobs in church. God bless them. If it works, go for it. However, really, it is somebody who is a displaced person, and they are not as free to worship, and their worship experience is now for them an idea, a longing, a yearning. And right in the middle of it are these three verses, which are a beautiful sum up of so much of our process through life, including discovering what God intended for us all along. So I'm just going to read Psalm 84, 5, 6 and 7. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, which is the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. Other words for springs could be fountain or well. I'm going to be referring to it as well this morning. A well as in a well of water. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. And so the title comes from verse 7, From Strength to Strength. This morning I want to look at the value and the nature of strength. As I say, please take this individually, person by person. I pray that there is blessing and even clarification through this word. But I am speaking to you as a church. This is Cornerstone. Now, having said that, let me go back to you as individuals. Put your hand up if you were born strong, if you just know that about yourself. You just know that about yourself. I was born, I've been a headstrong, I've been willful, I spent more time out of the classroom than in the classroom through disciplinary processes. more hands, they are coming up. All right. So let's try again. Hands up if you were born strong. It's a lot of people. Some were not born with any sense of that, but some people have been born strong. So now I have a question. Hands up those of you who were born strong, but you've been made to feel ashamed of it. Right. I believe this scripture will set you free. It's especially for women. Can I just say, gentlemen, for you to be born strong, you might, somebody say, oh, he's just a big thug, he's just a big bully, or he's just headstrong. But it's even a little bit, you know, it's okay for a man. But for a woman to be told that she's strong, it's often made to be quite distasteful. She's a strong woman, and in some very skewed understandings, we can even get labels attached to us which are meant to demean. So let's just look at this whole thing of strength. We can have great physical strength, and nobody seems to be too bothered by that. That's good. You're the ones who can pull a truck, and that's a good thing. We can have great career strength or professional strength, and nobody seems to be too bothered by that. We can have strength for our families, for establishing a place in the world, and nobody seems to be too bothered by that. We can have emotional strength, and mostly people aren't too bothered by that. if you come from a very dysfunctional background or a very dysfunctional family and you begin to become emotionally healthy, they can be very bothered by that, because now you're going to show up the level of the dysfunction. And a healed Christian can become a great threat to those around you who are determined to stay unhealed. So it has to be said that emotional strength may be a bother to some. But let's just say that we can have physical strength, career strength, family strength, emotional strength, and not be too much of a bother. But can we as men and women have spiritual strength? Well, according to Psalm 84, we absolutely can. What intrigued me about these three verses was looking into the two words strength. So in verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Well, I'm just a little bit curious to know whether or not it's the same strength that you get after you've gone through a valley of weeping, and surprise, surprise, it's not. So, blessed are those whose strength, now excuse my very inadequate and unlearned pronunciation, I'm only using the words so you know they're different. Blessed are those whose ozi is in you. That strength are the words that we would naturally associate with strength. Blessed are those whose boldness, whose loudness, whose power is in you. They're very brute kind of words, aren't they? They go through the hard times of life. They go through the valley of weeping. They construct a well. We'll look at that in just a moment. But as a result of going through the tough times of life, they come out with, and again, my pronunciation is my best effort, kahayil, strength. This is a very different kind of strength. And here are the words that are used in Scripture to that were used by the translators. Riches, great force, substance, valor or bravery. This word carries with it the sense of gathering resources into a force to be reckoned with. It is a virtuous and valiant strength that speaks of great personal ability. A loaded word, we'd have to say. So now here's my translation of verses 5, 6 and 7. Blessed are those who recognize your strength as their source, even though it is an unseasoned strength. It's a strength that's not yet been seasoned by life. And then they endure hardship so that now your strength is no longer operating out of a carnal place, but as part of your character in them. Is that all right? Don't ask me to repeat it. I'm not sure what I just said. I'd only have the general idea of it. But this morning, I want to look at three elements. The first is our natural strength and its connection to our strength that's in the Lord. Then briefly look at the Valley of Baca and at the autumn rains and the pools, and then conclude with looking at strength to strength, from strength to strength. Just for clarification of terminology, over here I might talk about natural strength or human strength or carnal strength or earthly strength. It's not good enough to put them together for you so quickly because there are differences all in there, but generally speaking, that's what I'm talking about. Human strength, natural strength, unseasoned strength, earthly strength. And over here I'm talking about seasoned strength, spiritual strength, heavenly strength. So will you allow that that's, will you just walk with me allowing that that's kind of a fairly crude differentiation, kind of natural strength and spiritual strength. And in there would need to be, if we were doing this in a seminar situation, we'd have to then break strength down into several categories, including personality and character. It's possible for somebody to have a strong personality and a weak character. It's possible for somebody to have a strong character but come to the world looking so meek that they can be misconstrued as being weak. So again, will you just allow that I'm pushing all of that together in order to paint a bigger picture for you. Personality strength, character strength, I'm sticking in one big lump and recognizing to you that that's inadequate. But nonetheless, to get this message across the line, I'm sort of talking about natural strength and spiritual strength, loading up personality and character into the one idea. When we are spiritual people relying on carnal strength, we're not an easy fit for the body of Christ. Now stick with me for a minute. In fact, stick with me for the whole message, please. But just on this point, in those cases, when we are operating spirituality through carnal strength, we can be very manipulative. Please don't be condemned by what I've just said. Most strong servants of God who are now standing with stature in God have passed through this stage. Because like Therese said, you don't know what to do with what's in you. You've been born with strength and now you're spiritual. You have been declared by the shed blood of Christ as a new creature in Christ, but you're dragging this carnal strength with you. And sometimes when we don't allow that to step into healing, which will inevitably result in going through a valley, then we can use that spirituality in a carnal way, and it can be quite manipulative. If we try to exercise this verse 5 strength, this Ozi strength, just on the fact that it's available to us, we will cause damage. A lot of churches have struggled when the leadership are exercising Ozi strength in a spiritual way. They're bold, they're powerful, they're loud. Come on, everybody, come on. And while that can be a very good thing in many settings, there's a risk that it is natural strength being portrayed in a spiritual way. Does that... And thank you for your heads nodding, I appreciate that. Because it's, I'm trying to let you know, I'm trying to ease off a judgment on that. Most people who do that, God in his kindness to his church will see to it that eventually they go through some tough stuff because he wants a higher level of strength operating in his church. So if you've been born with good quality, natural strength, strength of personality, strength of character, I've got a good scripture for you. Isaiah 30 verse 15. I'll quote it to you. Isaiah 30, 15, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. The picture are those hands in unchained, just hanging restfully, in repentance, in rest, in release of the me part of me. In that will be my salvation. The Holy One of Israel says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. We have to own that they are his words. And then in some translations it says, in quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. There is an innate rebellion in the heart of man that says, no, I'm going to do it my way. That's us hanging on to our natural strength. The King James has two lovely words in there. So it's in repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and confidence is your strength. Now that's our lovely place, isn't it? You want to be around people who have that kind of strength. But the carnal part of us will say, well, I'll have none of that. I'm more comfortable with my loudness and my power. And at that point, in that, this is the moment of impact that many of you may have had or may now understand what is going on in your life. You're at a place of collision because God is asking for natural strength now to be overlaid, to walk through what has to be walked through in order for this to be, for you to enter the next season of your life with spiritual strength. If you're realizing right now that this is the invitation, then I want to assure you that there is nobody better than your Heavenly Father as somebody skilled to hold you as you walk through it. I also want to say this to you because, again, especially if you have been shamed over your strength, One, don't put a whole lot of energy into trying to hide your natural strength just to avoid criticism. If you have ducked under life because you no longer want to attract criticism, I'm setting you free in Jesus' name right now. To hide your natural strength is an insult to the Creator who gave it to you. Okay, He made you strong. Don't hide it anymore. And if you have, you might need to repent. Most of us have had to do that. But what happens is we sometimes spend all our time repenting for the way our strength has exhibited to, oh God, I'm so sorry, I was a mouth, I spoke too loud, I'm sorry about that. Whereas really what our prayer should be, Father, I repent to you for not allowing my natural strength to show itself and to become seasoned and become spiritual strength. So, wrong motive if you're hiding. It's an insult to the God who made you to be a standout. So everybody who was made to be a standout feel set free. Also, just as a little practical thing, put your energies into letting your strength serve the purposes of God in your life. If you are a strong person, learn when to pull back. Learn when people have had enough of you, which is probably a lot sooner than you realize. Also, and this is really serious, learn when you've had enough of you. Have any of you thought, I've had enough of me? You know, I'm going to go and dig a garden, watch a movie, I've had enough of me. I'm over me for today. So I'll bow out. Simply learn to project Him instead of you. So whether or not you like it, people with natural strength, born with natural strength, you were born to be a standout and God knows what He's doing. Your faith jump is learning to submit your strength to His strength. And if this is where you are, can I just say, rejoice in the truth that you serve a God who is mighty and strong to save. He has everlasting arms and they never tire. And when we're making a faith jump, it's like, well, you know, if the places that I'm at, because I've fought my way through by my natural strength, if the successes I've had in life, that I've got them the hard way, I've had to make my life happen, and if I am now to make a faith jump, what's that going to look like? You must hear the words of the Lord that come to you and say that underneath are the everlasting arms, and they never drop us. And that is a faith jump. His arms will never weaken. Isaiah 59, just on from the beautiful scripture read to us this morning, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. There's another scripture that I also love in Jeremiah 29. Let me read it to you, but if you're taking notes, note it and mark it in your Bible. It's one of those mark-up verses that lasts our whole life in its wisdom. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Do not let the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. Stopping there to say, wise men have wisdom, strong men have strength, rich men have riches. There's nothing wrong with having those things. That's not living in denial of what you have. It's just saying, I don't boast in those things. But let him who boasts about this. And here is your antidote to that, the crassness of our natural strength. That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. There's your antidote. It's not pretending to be weak. It's saying, I choose to boast in the Lord, and I'm going to let the aspects of His character that the world needs, kindness, justice, and righteousness, become characteristics that people see in me. So we aren't to boast about or rely on our natural strength. We're to boast in the fact that we know the Lord. We are to find our strength that is in the Lord. It is mighty, it's powerful and bold. That's Ozzy strength. But it doesn't stop there. There's another type of strength that is lush, that is more of Him, and it's safer for us and it's safer for everyone around us, which is Kahal Yil strength. So how do we get there? a good question is, how do we make that transition? And we read in these three verses that we make it by going through the valley of weeping. Now, that is, the valley of Baca is the valley of weeping. That is a huge teaching in itself, and I certainly don't want to insult the writer by flipping it off with a couple of sentences, but for the sake of this morning's message, I do need to do that. So quickly then, the valley of Baca was not a geographical place. It is a transitionary place in our journey. It's a place of great sorrow. That is one of the clues that help us understand the story behind the writing of Psalm 84. These are times of life where things are done to us or we've done them to ourselves. Often we don't see them coming. They are traumatizing. They are almost inevitably unwanted. It's a very sick person who wakes up begging God for a bad day. So we don't want these things. They are traumatizing. But we learn to accept that the God of all knowledge and all wisdom and all understanding and all love, those everlasting arms, will get us through this time that's traumatizing. We didn't want it. It's unexpected. We've done it to ourselves by a foolish decision. Others have done it to us maliciously or accidentally. It's just the stuff of life. And Scripture says when that happens, when you're passing through the valley, don't build a four-bedroom, two-bathroom dwelling, sink a well. You're passing through. Denying the existence of the valley is foolish behavior. Rushing in with some declaration of being healed before we are is equally foolish. Making a choice, well, I'll never let that happen to me again, that is taking control of our life, and that's called pride. But instead, we say, I will allow these circumstances to become a well. A great principle scripture, another underlining scripture is Genesis 50, verse 20, and this is Joseph, who had been sold into slavery by a malicious act of his blood brothers. And when he finally reveals himself to them, he says, what you intended for evil, God intended for good to the saving of many lives. Please know that when we go through the valley of Baca, when circumstances happen to us and we allow them to become a richness, a lushness in our life, it's not just us who are going to do better. It's for the saving of many lives. So this now brings us to the second point. I said the first was on our strength that's in Him, whose strength is in you. They pass through the valley of Baca. And autumn rains fill it with pools. This is the second point, and it's very important if we're to get to Kahahil's strength. Autumn rains cover it with pools. We're still in the valley. We've done our bit. We've sunk a well. Other words for well are fountain or spring. But we have allowed the circumstances of life to do something in us. But because we've done that, we have now freed God's hand to do what only He can do. We can't create rain, but He does. Autumn rains fill the pool. Autumn rain in Palestine starts around October, and it's a softening rain. Now, you're close enough to your cousins, Australians, to have a picture in your head of what a desert looks like. Our deserts, they are red. The red earth, it's red. The colour that you see in the pictures is the colour it is. And I was driving through there just last year doing some work in one of the Northern Territory towns, and the red is the red. But when it is dry, when we're going through the dry, that earth separates, it cracks. And you've probably seen, you could imagine in your mind's eye a picture of that. If heavy spring rains came, they would disappear down the cracks. And natural strength does that. There's a problem, I can answer it. This. And we throw ourselves over this cracked earth and wonder why nothing changes. What God brings is a softening rain. Autumn rains, by other translated words, could be teacher rain. It's a rain that entices. It's a rain that says, come on, you can soften up. So He adds rains that do what has already begun by the soft fall of our tears. This parched earth is softening up. Because I'm choosing to go through this situation. As I said, carnal strength yells and throws its weight around, but spiritual strength that comes out of autumn rain softens the world around us, enabling the world to receive the seed of life. Autumn rain sets us up for kahahil strength, because this word pools, now this blew my mind when I read it. The Hebrew word for pools, which I won't try to, well, I'll do my best, I shouldn't have even tried. By implication, guess what word we could be using? Prosperity. Can you believe that? Other words in the King James would be blessing or liberality. That when we've got this brash natural strength, we go through the circumstances of life and God says, because you've chosen to do that, because you've chosen to sink a well instead of denying what's gone on in your life, because you've allowed the dealings of God to come into your story, I'm going to add something into your world that will bring pools of lushness, a beautiful prosperity. You need that in order to be set up for this next strength. When we let life dish up what life dishes us, we come into a largeness and we are no longer getting blessed, we are the blessing. And again I come to you, church, you are not an inconsequential church. You have been positioned by God and you are a blessing. I like the word liberality. It has a sense of more than. It's not like we're just eking out an existence here. There's something about us positioned in this place that is, we can give freely to the world around us. And so we come to the third point, which is the strength to strength. At this point, his strength is no longer unproven in us. We're no longer, you know, a risk to the body of Christ. We actually are becoming safer for him to use. And more importantly, we can't live without this strength. We are now relying on this lushness and this liberality. We no longer want to live spiritually hand to mouth. We want to be people who spiritually have plenty. Because we've allowed life to work through us, again, to quote an earlier sentence in this message, we are now a gathering of resources that are a force to be reckoned with. Like, that's got to be pretty fantastic, don't you think? I hope this microphone's not a problem to you. It seems to be dipping in and out. Let me re-quote another sentence I gave you earlier on. We are a virtuous, valiant strength that speaks of great personal ability. Now that is a church that every community needs, and that is a church that indeed you are. I said to you earlier that I've been engaged with your church. I've been watching you now for about 9 years when I first met your leadership team. And 9 years ago, the church that I knew, that was Waiuku AOG, you had good direction, you had good heart, you had fine intentions, and you had solid activity in both the house of God and in the community. And there was nothing wrong with your strength that was in the Lord. However, you then went through a valley of Baca. And sensibly, as a church, you built a well. You've allowed God to teach you of his ways. Now that's not just the only valley you've ever gone through, and you will go through others. But you now understand what happens when life does stuff to us. Now listen to me carefully, because I know that this message is connected to the purchase of your land. I forget how long ago, but I said to Lloyd and Amanda or somebody here that you will have land, it will be on a hill. You know, and it's always a risk to be so specific. What if you end up in a valley? Well, that just shows you that I didn't get everything. But you are to have land. There is no question about that. And I can't tell you how these two things are connected, but I know in my heart they are. That you are already in verse 7, and because of that, you can be trusted with this next season. You will always need to deal with the carnal, individually and even as a church, the sense of we'll do it our way, I did it my way. But there is a glory that's hovering over you. It is a lushness and a prosperous strength. You as a church are living in kahahil strength. And I do believe that you are a force to be reckoned with. Why else? Thank you. Thank you. Why else would God take a little church stuck in Southwest Auckland and give you a national profile. Get your head around that. A national profile. You are a force to be reckoned with. Kahal's strength is found in 2 Samuel chapter 22 verses 33 to 40. 2 Samuel chapter 22 verses 33 to 40. So if I was to try and prophesy over you what this strength looks like, I could use my natural words or I could go to scripture, and I've gone to scripture. Please note this now as having significance in the next season of your journey as a community of believers. Starting at verse 33. It is God who arms me with Kahal strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and you stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me. Take this individually as well as a church. You broaden the path beneath me so my ankles do not turn over. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with Kahal strength for the battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. There is a new season of spiritual strength over Cornerstone. Forgetting that you were entering 21 days of prayer and fasting, which I should have known because it is national, and I did hear of it, I did know of it, because the instigator is my dear sister of life, Minna Ackerman, Pastor Minna Ackerman. So I know that you've been working on it. But this morning as I was praying for you, I had forgotten that, and I wrote in my notes that there is going to be a rise of prevailing and conquering prayer. So when I was reminded of the 21 days, it's, well, of course, I see that. But there will be a rise of prevailing and conquering prayer. Also over you as a church, there will be heightened wisdom levels. I also believe that you're going to have an increase in salvations, and as a community of believers, you are to be unafraid to bring people over the line where chaplaincy may bring them up to a line. At one point, you stop being chaplain and you start being the community that brings redemption to its environment, and they come across the line and God trusts you with the discipling of them. Again, to requote, you are a gathering, you as a community of believers are a gathering of resources into a force to be reckoned with. I bless you as, again to quote the message, the words from Scripture, I bless you as a virtuous and a valiant community of believers. So what do we do with this? That is the word of the Lord to you today. What I would like to do is simply, we won't be having an altar call, but I do want to pray that those of you who have now identified where you are in this strength journey will be encouraged today, that God is at work in you and he knows exactly where you are and he can be trusted. You can actually trust him with this scary prayer. God, set up whatever it takes, because I want to be a Kahal strength person. I want to move past Aussie strength. I want to become somebody who has allowed life to bring your characteristics of strength, kindness, justice and righteousness. I want to boast in that. That's how I want strength to look in me. So if that relates to you, stand to your feet and I'm going to pray and commit you as a community of believers to the Lord. God bless you for your understanding of the word and your willingness to respond to it. Just raise your hands in surrender. In the video, it was that beautiful picture of the hands hanging in surrender. But I'm just asking you perhaps to raise your hands in surrender. I don't think the picture is a conflicting or contradictory. Oh God, God. Lord, I pray for the person and the people here who have been shamed, who have been shamed publicly with the words, oh, you're so strong. I pray right now healing over the laceration in their soul. Injury has come with that, and right now in Jesus' name I'm praying healing. Lord, heal the pain. Heal the wound. Holy Spirit, let this nearly be a badge of honor rather than a reason to duck and hide. What man has declared has been out of time and out of season, and in Jesus' name I wipe that away from you as a point of even self-definition. You are to be redefined as a virtuous and valiant man or woman of God. From this day forward, any time you have a sense that you're being strong of a carnal nature, remember this moment and say, God, I submit my strength to you. I submit my strength to you. I am going to be part of a community of believers, virtuous and valiant. We are a gathering of resources. We are a force to be reckoned with. We're not a gathering of carnal people thrashing around with human strength, so I submit my strength to yours. Don't be worried if you don't have my words. I know I have lots of words. My words don't matter. You just say, God, I want it to be about you. We've sung that this morning. Jesus, you're the center. Let it be about you. Let everything about me project you, not me. And in that is beautiful spiritual strength. So in Jesus' name, let that be a done thing now. Amen and amen. But now for you as a community of believers, saying, God, we want to stand in the kind of lushness and liberality that is part of your strength. We're going to buy the land. We're going to build the building. We're going to resource our community. We are not an inconsequential congregation. We are not limping along in some backwater. We're not a collection of people who are hiding from the world. We stand here, even named for what is an attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We stand as a cornerstone. Let us be a point of reference. Because we stand where we stand, because we are who we are, because we do what we do, the community around us aligns with your purposes. A resource, a force to be reckoned with, virtuous, valiant men and women of God. Holy Spirit, you are the one who comforts us. You are the one that leads us to truth. You are the one that is the wonderful counselor. You do look after us, our frail inner parts. You do look after us and you do it very well, and we give you honor and glory for that. So, Father, I pray for everyone who's standing here going, I think I need help. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Set things up so that journey can be made in the highest possible way, taking them from an idea of strength to being a picture of your strength. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We can trust you. We give you honor, for you do all things well. Heavenly Father, I pray for the oversight team. I pray for the board. Lord, I thank you for the intelligence of those who gather, particularly at this time. Father, I pray the mind of Christ over the property committee. Lord, give them creative understanding, even beyond their natural wisdom, which is already at such a high level. Lord God, I pray that there will be creative responses to challenges. I pray for the leadership team of the church. I pray for those who have come into this community and are just saying, God, how does this look for us? Oh, Holy God, why wouldn't you want to bless them? Bless them indeed, O Lord. Father, let there be, even as this video goes forward and takes the fame of this place way beyond anything that they could have imagined, I pray, O God, that with that will come such a confidence that you are indeed smiling upon this community of believers. To you be all glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless.